Let's open our Bible to John chapter 4. The title of today's sermon is Pray in the Spirit. Can we say that together? Pray in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will help me to deliver this sermon well. John chapter 4. Are you in John chapter 4? Good, thank you. So where we're going to is verse 23 and 24. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Who would like to read? John 4, 23 and 24. You can read from New Living Translation or New King James Version. Something very close. John 4, 23 and 24. Please follow in your Bible or listen attentively.
John 4, 23. I'm reading from New King James Version.
Go on, please.
Yes. Where is it now? Oh. 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. 24. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him, worship in spirit and truth.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. The Father is what? Seeking. Did you say it was Father's Day? Hallelujah. There's only one true, genuine, Father who has all the qualities. Others are just trying. Amen. And that's the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. You know, He made us all. The good fish, and those who have turned out to be what? Bad fish. It's still the Father that made them. He didn't make them bad fish. They chose. Sometimes you choose by not choosing. Amen? Yeah? Sometimes they say, what do you want? Say, I don't know. Then somebody else will make the choice for you. You are still choosing not to choose. Amen? But He made us. And because He's a Father, He loves us with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. But He's seeking. He's not seeking. I've always thought, and I'm saying it again, God will not eat bad fish. He will throw it away. Because you won't eat bad fish. Amen? Will you eat bad fish? No. It's rotten. It's corrupt. Smelly. Will you eat it? What will you do? He will chunk it away. Hallelujah. The Father is seeking. What is He seeking? What is He seeking? He's seeking for true worshippers. Is the Father seeking for a very big church? No. You remember the story of Gideon? Gideon was called to lead an Israelite army. Yeah? And Gideon was like, oh, the enemy is so big. I don't even think I can gather a big enough army to face them. But the Lord said, go anyway. And he tried his best. And you know, he gathered who? He gathered 32,000 men. How many? 32,000. Yeah? And even then, he was not confident with 32,000. Yeah? Because when you have 32,000 and the opposition is like 200,000. Do you think you can win? No. But you know what God did? God said the 32,000 is too big. Oh, by the way, your name is Gideon. Yeah? It's too big. Not with men. With men, it's too small. But with God, why was it too big? Teaching. Why was it too big? Gideon managed to find 32,000. It's still a small army compared to their enemies. But with God, it was too big. Why? Come on, church. Okay, now let me set the background. So God reduced it from 32,000 to 300. 32 to what? 300. Why? Why would God do that? Come on, church. Help me. Yes. I'll continue.
Is it like quality over quantity?
Quality. Thank you, sir. Very good. Quality. Yes.
I think some they didn't have faith in the way cowards, so we had to do away with
they,
that.
They didn't have faith. They had strength. They had muscle.
But did he have what?
Did he have faith? Yes.
Because God knows that He Himself will be there with them, and one of them is more than thousands of other servants.
Hallelujah! One of them, but let me say, not just one of them. One with God. One with God. Hallelujah! One with God. Hallelujah! God is worth more than 10,000 thousands. Amen. But He needs at least one person. Hello. Let me just quickly explain this. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. You can look at your Bible. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26, 27. New King James Version. Romans 8, 26, 27. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, also helps us. In what? In our weakness. Now, that's in general. I spent it about 2 weeks ago. I said, you need help. Amen? You need help. If you are feeling low, you need to be lifted. It's that's help. Amen? If you are feeling confused, you need clarity. Yeah? That's help. Yeah? If you are feeling sick, you need healing. That's help. Amen? If whatever way you are inadequate, yeah? You need what? Help. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. His title is who? The Helper. Imagine. That's his official title. Is what? The Helper.
It doesn't get better.
The Helper. Some other could not call it the Comforter, but I think the strongest word is the Helper. Hallelujah. Now, He helps us in our weaknesses in general. But He now gives us an example of our weaknesses. Yeah. Now, when God wants to give us an example, He's telling us a key weakness. You know, like 2 weeks ago, we talked about what is the universal problem of mankind. And I know someone said suffering, but we said it's not suffering because there's a cost to suffering. Amen. The universal problem of mankind is sin. Hallelujah. That's the problem. And so the gospel has no meaning if it does not address the same problem. If you like, address all the suffering in the world. Yeah? Do all the charity in the world. Make everything better. But you're still going to have, yeah, civilized sinners. You understand? Who are still on their way to hell. Amen? Jesus did not come to address the suffering. First and foremost. He came to address what? The sin. Because the sin is the reason for the suffering. Amen. If God wipes away the sin, there will be no more what? No more suffering. No sorrow, no crying, no dying. And that day is coming. Hallelujah. The question is, will you be there? Hallelujah. Yeah? I plan to be there. Amen. The Bible talks about this in Matthew. He said the kingdom of God is like someone who cast a big net into... See, and this net, yeah, caught lots of fish. Good fish, and what? And bad fish. Caught them. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that what will happen? The good fish was taken into the, what was the English word you used? Crate. That's nearly been, I said, great. Then what happened to the bad fish? It was chunked away. Hallelujah. Now that good fish will enter the kingdom. Hallelujah. Because if you bring the bad fish in, the problem will start all over again. Sin will come, and suffering will come, and sorrow and die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is helping us in our weaknesses. But there's a key weakness we all have. Just like there was a universal problem of man is sin. But there's a universal weakness of believers. We have different weaknesses. Yeah? But my weakness may be different from yours. Hallelujah. And sometimes it's good to go to weakness so you can have empathy. You know, like if someone is struggling in something you're not struggling, you're like maybe someone has a fever. You know what I'm talking about? I know what I'm talking about. But somebody has never experienced what? A fever. So what's the problem with you? Why is your nose running? They don't understand. They know what? They don't understand. Why are you so slow this morning? They don't understand. Hallelujah. Because their weakness is different from your weakness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there is a weakness that we all have. And what's the weakness? We don't know how to pray as we ought to. Amen. We don't know how to pray. He didn't say we don't know how to pray at all. We don't know how to pray as we ought to. It's a weakness. I want you to let that sink in your spirit. A key part of your spirituality is your ability to pray right. Oh, let me say it another way. Yeah? Not every prayer is right prayer. You get it? You can pray and pray wrong. You can spend all your time praying wrong. Amen? We don't know how to pray as we ought to. So the Holy Spirit comes to help us. And why it's important is that if we are praying wrong, yeah, our spiritual life will not be moving in the right direction. The kingdom will not be moving in the right direction. We are praying wrong. Amen? We're praying wrong. Yeah? Do you get it? Someone does not like to eat fish. Anybody here that doesn't like to eat fish? Okay, someone does not like to eat meat. Anybody that doesn't like to eat meat? Beef. Pork. Now, I'm gradually resigning from beef. By force. I like beef. But I have to resign by force. So I reduce the cholesterol in my blood. It's by force. Amen. And you now serve them. They don't eat, they don't like beef. You now invite them to what? A beef burger barbecue. Huh? Are they going to be impressed? No. When they get there, they say, "Do you have chicken?" Because they're not eating beef. Hallelujah. So the same way, it's not every prayer that is acceptable to God. Amen? You just prayed it. You've done your own business. But it's not acceptable. Because it doesn't meet his criteria. Hallelujah. There's criteria. But the Holy Spirit helps us. Yeah? In our weaknesses. How does he help us? Yeah? He helps us to pray. I want you to just clarify this point. You can't ask the Holy Spirit to pray for you. Actually, you can. But if you ever ask the Holy Spirit to pray for you, you know what he will do? He will wake Brother Toby up at night and use him to pray. Let me explain that again. The Holy Spirit is God. Yeah? He doesn't have any need. Yeah? He's perfect. He is only there to help you. Yeah? For example, if you want to push your car, yeah? And you are not strong enough, like Stephen. You know, Stephen can be just very strong. You can just push the car. One hand. Yeah? You're not strong enough. What do you need? You call somebody to help you, to join into what? To push. That would be the Holy Spirit. That's the type of help he gives. It's not the help that you will sit and cross leg. I say, Holy Spirit, you do it. No, he's here to take hold with you. Amen? You want to do it, and you now ask for yourself, then he takes hold with you. He joins in with you to help you push it. Hallelujah. So you see, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray through us. You are still the one praying, but it will help you to pray. Do you get it? Yeah. But if you are not interested in praying, it can't help. You gotta help somebody else who wants to pray. Hallelujah. You may start praying and say, ah, I don't even know what to pray now. Or I'm tired. Or I'm confused. Holy Spirit, help me. Then as you yield to Him, grace will come. Amen? And you'll be able to pray. The Bible talks this is Zechariah, talks about the spirit of grace and supplication. God can pour it on you, but you must be willing. And that's why you see in the armor of God, your feet protection, yeah, is your readiness. It is not the gospel, it's your readiness or your preparedness or your willingness. When you are ready, yeah, things can start moving. When you are willing, things can what? Move. When you are not willing, sometimes the step to your breakthrough, spiritual or physical, yeah, is just you taking some simple step. God can never ask you to do what you can't do. Never ever. You know why? He knows you. Say, God knows me. Hallelujah. He sees you. He knows you. When God wants to work in your life, He is the one that has the package. Yeah? But He needs your cooperation. Your cooperation is an expression of your will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You take the step. I'm weak, but I can still move that leg. And as you begin, grace will come to empower you to do what you cannot do in your own power. Hallelujah. You enter grace through faith. But faith, yeah, your faith is not in gear if you are not willing. Never ever. Hallelujah. So this is for somebody. If you want to go to hell, I can't stop you. If that's what you want, yeah? Even God can't stop you. You know who can help you? The devil will come. Say, you want to go to hell? I will help you. All the demons, yeah? They'll be dancing around your head every day, teaching you how to commit immorality. When I say immorality, I'm not just talking about sexual immorality. I'm talking about the breaking of God's laws. They will teach you idolatry and immorality. Help you on your journey to hell. Hallelujah. But if you want to go to heaven, I can help you. Amen? I can help you. I'm a pastor. I can help you. The Holy Spirit can help you. God can help you. Hallelujah. God can help you. But don't ever get it twisted. Yeah? That God is dying to save from hell. He has done everything He needs to do. Yeah? He has given everything. He gave His only Son. That whoever believes in Him should what? Should not perish. But you say, I want to perish. Yeah? God can't stop you. Hallelujah. I just said that to make you understand that you have a part to play. And I'm talking about cooperation. Say with me, say cooperation. Hallelujah. Everything you will do, that's why you read the whole Bible. Every instruction Jesus gives you is telling about your cooperation. Hallelujah. He said, enter through the narrow gate. Who is to enter? God, Jesus, or you? He needs your cooperation. Hallelujah. He is the way, but He needs you to walk that way. Hallelujah. He will get to the destination, but you have to cooperate with Him. Hallelujah. So 32,000 were reduced to 300. Why? Why? Because one with God is what? Majority. No, there's no problem. I think there's a device in that room. So, if you have 32,000, yeah? And what's Maddy got you? What's 32,000 minus 300? Minus 300. That will bring you back here. Okay, I like that look. Look at that, was a good look. Look at it. Sorry. Yes. Thank you. I'll just follow it. I just depend on the fact that you know what you're doing. 31,700. It's a mega church. It's a mega church. We have a very big screen. The best equipment in the world. Hallelujah. The best singers. is all holy smoke. You know holy smoke? It comes from the bottom. It's not Holy Spirit. Holy smoke is not Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Unbelievers who don't know God can groove with Holy smoke. The Holy Spirit is not there. It's just gas. What gas was that? Anyone know which gas is? Which gas is? Which gas is Holy? Which gas comes out from the stage? Come on. You need to investigate just in case it's dangerous. Assignment. When you have smoke coming from the stage, you know that. What gas is it? Okay, assignment to everybody. Go and find out. For your own safety. Sorry? Dry eyes. Hallelujah. Don't be deceived. 31,700. Yeah? But they are not genuine. Because when I went there, I was to say that the Father is looking for true worshippers. The Father is looking for genuine worshippers. The Father is selective. He showed us all through the Bible. You just didn't pay attention. Hallelujah. Why didn't they use the 32,000? The enemy was already bigger than 32,000. Yet he tells this man, and this man he called, when God called, he was afraid. He said, I can't do it. I'm the smallest in my father's house. He was hiding, you know, in the threshing floor, hiding to the threshing floor because of the enemies. And yet God calls him. Yeah, of course you can't do it in your power, but you can do it in his power. Say, I can't do it in my power, but I can do it in his power. Hallelujah. So the problem is this, because this 31,700, they're not genuine worshippers. When they get to the battlefield, when the battle is strong, what will they do? Where's the mic? Where's the mic now? Okay, yes. What will they do? They will what? Run away. What else can they do? Run away is part of the answer. What else will they do? What else can they do that will compromise the 300? Come on. Yes, okay, let's assume they are not joining the other party. What else? Run away. What else? Be imaginative. There are some things they can do. So the 31,700 will run away. Let's assume. But that was the only problem. God is happy. If the 31,700 run away, God is happy. Because now he has 300 genuine people that he can use. So the answer is good, but the answer is disqualified. So what can the 31,700 do on battlefield? What is the reason why they cannot go with the 300 to this battlefield? Right, let me go.
They're going to discourage them.
More. Any other one? There's still more. Yes. Thank you.
They could hold the others back.
They're going to
hold the others back.
They will hold them back. How will they hold them back? Be imaginative. What can they do to hold them down? Yes?
By fearing the multitude because of their lack of faith.
Yes! But what... Yeah, it's still absolutely correct, but what can they do to hold them back? They get in the way, yes, ma?
By their confession.
They will complain, they will moan, they will gossip, they will say all the bad words, the 200 people will just resign. They will destroy. Their unbelief will destroy the faith of the 300. Because faith comes by hearing. So also does fear. Unbelief comes by hearing. You just hear the wrong thing. Or unbelief also comes by lack of hearing the right thing. Are you with me? So that's why God had to purge. Look at the character of God. You will never understand faith until you understand the character of God. Faith hangs completely on the character of God. In the character of God, He's willing to discard 31,700 who are not genuine worshippers to preserve 300 genuine worshippers so that he can achieve the purpose he wants to achieve. Because our purpose, yeah, it needs genuine faith. Hallelujah. To be a true worshipper, you need to be genuine. with God. You need to be what? Genuine. I preached it and preached again. You can't. Look, if you are one leg in, one leg out, you are not on your way to heaven. Quote Pastor Ben anyway. Hallelujah. You must be what? Hook, line, and what? And sinker. If you don't know the meaning of that, Maddy, Google it. Hook, line, and sinker. You must be. Hallelujah. And let me say something here. If you are genuine, it can never cast you away. I underline the word never. Hallelujah. If there is genuine sheep, it can never. Hallelujah. But if there is not this genuine sheep, it will say, sorry, I never need. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Hallelujah. In the Bible, it says, Lord, but we ate in your presence. We drank in your presence. So I don't know you. And he gave the reason. He said, because you are a worker of iniquity. Hallelujah. You practice lawlessness. Or let me put it in language you understand. You took God for granted. Amen. You took God for granted. You played God. Hallelujah. Say, I refuse to take God for granted. I choose to be a genuine believer. Hallelujah. Now, John tells us, he says, those who worship God in spirit and in what? And in truth. Hallelujah. What are the key words? Spirit and truth. That spirit is talking about your spirit. Yeah? Another word for that is your heart. Your heart is totally there. Hallelujah. Totally what? There. Totally. You can be predicted. Your actions can be predicted. What will you do? They know. Because they see your heart. Through your actions. They know where your heart is. Hallelujah. Your heart is not divided between God and the world. It's totally for God. I'm all out for God. Hallelujah. I'm all out for Jesus. That's to worship God in spirit. Hallelujah. And in truth. What is truth? What is truth? Somebody help me. What is truth? How do you know truth? What is truth? Come on, young girl. It's my job before God to train you well. You know you have a father. Biological. Then you also have a spiritual father. Then you also have a heavenly father. How many fathers now? Three. What is truth? Yeah. What is truth?
When you don't lie.
Sorry?
When you don't lie.
When you don't lie, yes, but we're not yet there. Truth. How do you define truth? How do you know what something is truth?
Sincerity.
Sincerity, yes, not yet nailing it. Correct? It's correct. You know? If you are dishonest person, you are not practicing the truth. Amen? But that's not where I'm going to. I'm looking for the definition of truth. How can you know truth? Something what?
That can't be altered.
It's unchangeable. Hallelujah. If it changes, it is not what? It's not truth. Amen? It is strong, solid, stable, enduring, forever. It can be relied upon. It can be depended upon. You can hang your life on it. That's truth. More? What is truth? Sorry? There's a simple answer now. Going spiritual. Going spiritual. What is truth? Look at your Bible. There's a Bible verse you can even use to answer my question. What is truth? Faith? Yes, yes. It's not too far away. You're not too far away. What is truth?
The word of God. Is
hallelujah. Open your Bible to John chapter 17. John 17, verse 17. John chapter 17, verse 17. Yes, who has it? John 17, 17. We can take two versions. New King James and New Living Translation. John chapter 17, verse 17.
New King James Version. As he said,
Sanctify.
Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth.
Amen. Amen. That was which version? Which version? Thank you. So let's have New Living Translation. John 17, 17.
Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth.
Amen. The word of God is what?
It's true.
If you like, vote against it. If you like, vote against it. Let the 31,700, you know, like in democracy, yeah, they are going to vote now. The 31,700 said it's not true. The 300 said it's true. So 31,700 God won the vote. But that doesn't change truth. Hallelujah. The word of God is what? It's true. You can build your life on it. You can hang your life on it. So when the Bible says he's looking for those who worship him in truth, these are people who are decided to live by the word of God. They have decided to obey God's commandments. Let me explain that. Every word of God is a commandment. It's not an advice. He said, pray in the spirit at all times. On every occasion. Is that an advice? It's an instruction. Amen. Another way of saying it's a commandment. Let me share this with you. There are a lot of things that go wrong with the church. But even in there, there's a true church within the mega church. I want you to understand that. The true church is the bride of Christ, not the mega church. The bride of Christ is the 300, not the 31,700. I want you to understand it, because you see, everything that God wants to do, he shows us in the shadow in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. It is the true church is within the mega church. What you want to be is choose to be numbered with the true believers. Because that's the one the Father is seeking for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's your choice. You can make that choice. Hallelujah. You can make that choice. Hallelujah. You can choose not to join bad company. You can choose it. Hello? You can choose not to keep bad company. Hello? There's someone in your life and they are influencing you badly. You can choose to cut off the relationship. Hallelujah. It's within your gifting. Hallelujah. And of course, if you're finding it difficult, you need help. Come and call me. I'm Muslim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can choose. Now, what I was going to say is that we live in a generation where in the church, we don't teach our children the commandments of God. Yeah? You just tell them, the love of God. God loves you. You know, there's a quote. There's a quote. It sounds very spiritual, but it's not spiritual. He said, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. It's true, but it's not the whole truth. It's true. It's not the whole truth. It's technically true. God loves you, what? Unconditionally, isn't it? Hallelujah. Because God is love. Even the people that are going to hell, does God still love them? Yes, but they will go to hell. Now, where it's false is that it sounds like you can't please God by anything. And that's not true. Yeah? If you are doing the commandments of God, you will please God. If you are disobeying the commandments of God, you will displease God. Correct? That's why Jesus said, if you love me, what should you do? Keep my commandment. Why would he tell you that? Because he knows you can break it. Hallelujah. So now we don't teach them. Then you know what happens? The UK government. We teach them the UK government's commandments. And they must obey it. Hallelujah. So if you don't lay the foundation based on the word, whether you like it or not, everybody has been exposed to commandments. You call it what? The law. The rules are even the education. Forget about all the parliament laws. Just look at education system. There are so many laws from the Department of Education on how schools will run and that you're supposed to keep. Thousands of them, thousands of regulations, just education law. Not talking about your workplace. Are you with me, Cameron? The workplace has its own what? Laws. And they will tell you. Hallelujah. So you see now that you are being conditioned by the laws of the world. And the laws of the world can be imperfect. But tell you, a world that is not submitting to God. Hallelujah. Are you with me? The world will tell you that, oh, when you are 16, you are free. That's the UK law. UK law says that if you are 16, you are free to have sex. Is that not UK law? What does God's law tell you? You should not have sex outside of marriage. Hallelujah. That is the truth. It will never change. It is reliable. It is dependable. It is everlasting. You build on the truth. Don't build just on UK law. Be law abiding. Don't break the law. But you have something greater. Yeah? It's the word of God. Now, the part I wanted to teach is this. Faith comes by what? And hearing by what? The problem is this. See, in the church, in the last many years, 2030, all we've preached about is just faith and prosperity. We didn't teach our young people the word. Yeah? The word talks about idolatry. The word talks about immorality. The word talks about modesty. The word talks about consecration. The word talks about sacrifice. The word talks about persecution. The word talks about perseverance. The word talks about self-control. The word talks about prayer. Prayer. That's why you find the other, he just wants to go to a movie. Another the movie, go to the ice cream shop. Because you feel that that's what's supposed. You understand that. You are not the 31,700. Amen. Those ones, they are not going anywhere. Where are they going? Nowhere. Zero. You are called to be part of the 300. Genuine believer. Worshipping God in spirit. Anyone? The truth means that you are laying, you're building your life based on the word. You are using this to form the structure of your life. And I always tell people, I say, like, if you are really following the truth, you will seek to mentor other people. You see, you don't have faith just because you believe. Yeah? Your faith is not complete just because you believe. Yeah? You have to confess it. Amen? With the heart, man believes. But with the mouth, what? Confession is made unto salvation. Part of your confession, you can look at Hebrews, is using what you believe to affect other people. Are you with me? You see, there's a tragedy story in the Bible. Yeah? Of a believer. He was a materialistic believer. His name was called Lot. Lot lived in Sodom maybe 20 years. He impacted nobody with righteousness. Yeah? He was just him and his family. 20 years. In Lot, they were committing terrible sin. But Lot was quite happy because the land was beautiful. Yeah? His sheep and his goats were doing well. There was milk and butter on the table. Yeah? So he didn't bother him. Every day, profanities were being thrown at him. Immoralities was flying around like birds in the sky. He didn't bother a lot. So long there is milk and what? And butter. And roasted calf. I'm quoting from Genesis 18. Amen? So when the day of judgment came, Lot lost everything. Everything in one day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is not a true worshiper. Amen. That's not a true worshiper. You know the true worshiper? Abraham. God told him, said, leave where you are. Go to the place I will show you. Before God told him to leave where he was, Abraham was already rich. He was comfortable. He had his families. He had servants. He had flock. You can read your Bible. But he lives trusting God. Hallelujah. Trusting God. That's faith. Hallelujah. And then he finally inherited the promised land. But he didn't even inherit it in his lifetime. Amen. Faith does not necessarily mean you get all you want now. Hallelujah. Faith means that you trust God. You've already seen the end. The end is not what you want. Amen. The end is not what you want. Hallelujah. The end, yeah, is what he wants for your life. Hallelujah. The end is you, yeah, making it into glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Making it to what? Into glory. At the end of the journey. You know, you started well. Amen? Is it good to start the race? Yes. But that doesn't mean you will come to the end or you will win the race. To win the race, you start. I know you are born again. If you are, you started the race. Yeah? Don't go and sleep. Amen? You need to pray. What Jesus said, watch and pray. You see, I know you feel like you think you're a superhero. Yeah? But Jesus, your champion, he had to pray. If Jesus had to pray, you can do better. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Son of God. Yeah? Morning and evening, spend time in what? In prayers. The night before the cross, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. What was he doing? He praying. Do you know how long he prayed for the Garden of Gethsemane? Well, the Bible didn't say, but we can calculate it. I like what it is. The first time he went to pray, came back, his disciples were sleeping. He said, could you not watch me for 1 hour? So, I mean, what? How long has passed? How many times did that happen? Hallelujah. Praying. We need to pray. Hallelujah. You what? You will need to pray so that you can get the kingdom of God to continue to move forward. So that righteousness can prevail. So you can find strength to overcome the challenges of this world. The world is challenging. The world is set up to trip you up spiritually. The goal of Satan is that you do not make it home. Hallelujah. But you want to make it home. So what do? I keep running. Same as I keep running. The guarantee that you finish this race is that what? You should keep running. Then another reason is that when you want to finish that race, you need to run according to the rules. Otherwise, what happens if you don't run according to the rules? What? You can't be! It's in the Bible! Paul said, he said, after I've preached to others, I don't want to be what? Is he just faking you? He said, I control myself. I discipline myself so that I will not be disqualified. Amen? Because you see, you are saved. But that's not the end of your salvation. He that endures to the end will be what? Will be saved. That's you making it home. You started the journey where you want to finish well. So I choose to finish well. So we begin to round up there, maybe 1 or 2 minutes. So the foundation there is that you are called to be a true worshiper. And one of the characteristics of true worshipers is that they pray. You see, in this kingdom, we pray. Why do we pray? Because we can't make it on our own. Amen. You know, when I stop praying, I start relying on this small brain. Yeah? I started relying on this small muzzle. I know Cameron's muzzle is bigger than mine, yeah? He goes to the gym. No, Z's muzzle is bigger than mine. Z, can you show us your muzzle? Yes. Okay, okay. Flex it. Come on. Come on. Your wife is watching. Flex. It's Father's Day. Show her you have some muscles. Amen. Yeah? But your muscle is not enough. Your brain is not enough. I need God more than ever before. That's why I pray. When I'm praying, I am inviting God into my situation. Amen? I'm inviting God into my home. You may face some difficulty in your home. You invite God day and night. Amen? You may face some difficulty in your community, in your extended family. There can be difficult people there. Do you know any difficult people? You pray. Say, God, let your power flow. Let your mercy come. Let your light shine. I want to finish on this note. Probably I'll do a part two of that message. Because I have not unpacked it fully. But what I want to say is that I get the feeling from the word. And I'm talking like Paul. He said, Paul said, you know, I don't have a direct commandment from Jesus, but you can depend on what I tell you because I think I have the Spirit of God. Amen. I get the feeling that God will move more powerfully in your life, in your family, in your religion, in your community, if you pray the more. It's like as if God, yeah, does God doesn't move, yeah, without the cooperation of man. Let me give you an example. The students are doing this right now. In Genesis 18, God has looked at the city of Sodom. Their sin was grievous. Yeah? And the Bible said that God came. And then it came to Abraham. He said, how can I... God was planning to destroy Sodom. But he came to Abraham and said, I can't do this. I can't hide this from Abraham. Yeah? Why would God want to do something and not say he must tell Abraham? Why? Because Abraham is what? The friend of God. How is Abraham the friend of God? Who is your friend? Tell me. What are the qualities for you to call someone your friend? Where's my mic? Someone, for you to say, this person is my friend. It's not Abraham that said, I'm the friend of God. I am a friend of God. That's not what we're talking about here. I mean, shallow, shallow, shallow level. Now, that friend of God we sing is like, I'm not an enemy of God. That's what we're really saying. But that doesn't make you a real friend of God. What is a quality that makes you a friend? That you see someone say, that, she is my friend. See that? You know, like, she told Cameron, you know, Cameron, that woman, she is my friend. She is my true friend. What would you have seen in her for you to say, she's your friend?
Sincerity.
More. Trustworthy, yeah? Lawyer! My two words are, your friend is someone who is loyal to you. And they are reliable or dependable. God found Abraham to be someone who was loyal and what? And dependable. Hallelujah. So that God has to tell you. Hallelujah. That I'm going to destroy Sodom. But why God just telling you? It's not like God is gossiping. Because God knows that Abraham has his nephew living in Sodom, whose name was Lot and his family. Amen? And God told Abraham, he said, I'm coming and I'm going to check out Sodom. Yeah? To see whether what I hear about them, yeah, is true. Of course, God sees everything. So what's God doing there? God is going to examine them directly. Final chance of mercy. Is God not merciful? God saw everything, but he's going down. He will visit them as angels. Yeah? See whether they will do to him what he's been hearing. Yeah? Now, that's not what I'm going to. What I'm going to is that Abraham says to God, he said, shall you destroy? Abraham was praying. He was interceding. Yeah? And what he says interceding, he said, his interest in Sodom is Lot. Yeah? If Lot is not there, he doesn't have any interest. Yeah? So will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Because Abraham knows God. Yeah? He knows that God is just. Yeah? God is holy. Yeah? Tell me. If you have a city that is 1,000 people. Yeah? And 950. Maddie, I'm coming to you. 950 are sinners. Terrible sinners. Yeah? And only 50 are righteous. What is justice? To destroy the city or not to destroy the city? 950 are terrible, terrible sinners. Only 50 are righteous. What is justice? It's not a trick question. Just apply it normally, naturally. 950 are terrible people. Wicked sinners. Weak as in really wicked. Only 50 are doing right. What is justice? She's not sure. Justice. Yes?
Justice says you can't destroy the city. Even if 900 they are just wicked and mm-hmm. there's only 50 that is righteous. Mm-hmm. The justice says you still have got to consider those ones who have been living right.
Yeah. That's not justice. That's mercy. Amen? That's what? Mercy. The majority has carried the day. If you are looking at that city, that's a wicked city. That's a sinful city. If you go there, you will be violated. If you go into this city, you will be corrupted. Yeah? It's a terrible city. Because the majority are what? Terrible. That's justice. That's justice. On the balance of probabilities. Amen? Amen? So if they got justice, yeah? The whole city should be destroyed. So Abraham in praying is praying for what? Mercy. In fact, let me tell you this. If they got justice, the 50 themselves will be destroyed. Oh yes. Because they were living there all the time. They made no impact. Yeah? Sin was flying in their face every day. They converted nobody. Touched nobody. No impact. No fruit. Zero. They are useless. In fact, if you leave them another 1 year, yeah, it will become 970 sinners. Because these ones, their light is not shining. They have no impact. Didn't you see that Lot himself lost his family members? The sin has entered them. So justice is to destroy. That's why Abraham is saying, he's pleading to mercy. Will you destroy the right? Because you can't challenge the integrity of God. God will always do what is right. But it's appealing to mercy. I have this person there. Can't you spare the place for his sake? That is mercy. But I'm telling you about the importance of prayer. If Abraham did not pray, Lot would have been conceived with the wicked. Because he was in close association and partnership with them. He was even a senator. Let's rise up. Let's rise up and pray. Two key points. One is that we are called to be true worshippers. Genuine. Worshipping God in spirit and in what? And in truth. I want you to pray into that for your life. Think about the story of Gideon. Think about 32,000 people called to the battle. And God screened them down to 300. That's how important genuineness, truth, faithfulness is to the Father. Is seeking for true worshippers. And the reason is that when you are true, God can do much more with you. When you are genuine, when your faith is genuine, when you are pure in your attitude and approach to God, God can do great, great things to you. Great things. Great things. All he needs is your faith and your willingness, your cooperation, your yieldedness. So pray to God and say, Lord, this is a simple prayer, but it's powerful. I choose to be a genuine believer, a genuine worshiper, a true worshiper, worshiping you with my heart. Hook, line, sinker, everything, everything, everything. Nothing held back. Nothing, no double dealing. No double dealing. How can you double deal, God? That's foolish. He that knows the heart, I give you everything. And you too. I'm a true worshiper. That's my choice. I choose, Lord, to worship you, to serve you, to love you totally, spirit and the truth. And you know, you cannot be a true worshiper without the word of God. True worship means that you are obeying, you are yielding, you are submitting to the word. You are submitting. You understand that word is the final authority in your life. Oh yes, we obey the law, UK law, but the word is higher authority in our lives. So I want you to pray that. Pray that. You know, he's a loving father. Even when we miss it, and we come back to him, he cannot cast us away. He will forgive, he will cleanse you, and he will do something new in your life. He's not casting you away. He's waiting for you to fully yield, and he will do great things with you, like he did with Gideon and the 300 people. Hallelujah. The second prayer point is, so I want you to dedicate yourself to prayer. Prayer is you depending on God for your life. Prayer is you saying, God, I need you in every detail. I need your wisdom. I need your strength. I need your guidance. I need your help. I need your power. You know, that is humility. So I said, Lord, I dedicate myself to prayer. I'm called in this kingdom of true believing. We are called to pray. And so I dedicate myself to prayer. To pray. Bible says, pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Hallelujah. And if you have received the baptism of the Spirit, that's another charge to you. You yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and pray. The devil will rather have you drinking alcohol so you forget who you are. The devil will rather... By the way, not all alcohol is just only alcohol. There are many alcohols. Sometimes the party, the talk, the gossiping, they are all forms of wine to intoxicate you. And you lose your identity. You don't know. You're wasting your life away. Some people's wine is, you know, playing computer games. It just dominates them. They can't help it. Any addiction is wine. Because wine, alcohol is the drug. So any addiction, anything that cause an addiction is drug at work. But that's not God's plan for you. He said, don't be drunk with wine. But be what? Be filled with the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Spirit, one of the evidences is that you will pray in the Spirit. And when you do that, your life will move forward. The kingdom will move forward. God will use it to help other people. Your family. You don't want to know the strongholds of Satan that he has planted like a mine in your family, using it to keep people in bondage. But when you pray, God will start locating those mines and destroying them. But you have to pray. Somebody has to pray. Somebody has to pray. Somebody. The Holy Spirit will not pray without somebody. He prays